Hello, friends. Welcome to Catholic Minute. Special guest, actually two today. Look who's sitting beside me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Today, we also have a guest that we had previously, Father Cristino from Calgary. Father Cristino, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again.
You know what? Janelle has a question for you.
So, Father Cristino, let's just say God did not call you to the priesthood and he called you to be a father of a family. What would you do? Like, what would be non-negotiables that you would do with your family in terms of like devotions? And how would you try to raise your children in the faith and to keep your kids Catholic and like faithful, like beautifully on fire Catholic?
That is a really interesting question. And it's funny because you present it in a way like that it's a hypothetical scenario where I have to imagine that I was the father of children as opposed to a priest. But in a way, I think I would look upon my parish ministry, or in this case, the chaplaincy that I direct, as being my children. As I get older, because I now feel much older than the people that I serve, I actually am becoming more attuned to having a paternal heart. I have a paternal instinct for these people that I feel I can legitimately call kids, especially these young people in their first year of university. And so I see that the way in which I try to promote devotion inside of like our chaplaincy community, for example, I hope would be just a mirror image of what I would do if I was the father of a family of my own, biological children with my wife. And I would want to see us still striving for the same things. And for me, that involves an unquestioning devotion to the Holy Eucharist, a devotion to our Blessed Mother, and devotion to the saints. You might say, wow, that's pretty novel. But I think we have to be careful that we don't overcomplicate things here, because this is what our Lord has given to his church. And in the domestic church, these must be the pillars. And so we look first to the Eucharist. And I think what I would love to see is that we find it natural to talk about the Mass. I can remember when I was growing up, sometimes when we were preparing for the sacraments, whichever sacrament was coming next, you know, my parents at supper would kind of grill us, you know, do you remember, what do you say when the priest says this, what do you say? And it felt fun. It just felt like so natural, such a normal thing for us to be talking about. And only later did I realize, I don't think too many of my friends talk about Mass and the things that you say at Mass when they're at supper with their family. So not only to focus on it, but to focus on it in a way that makes it feel very natural. This is just a normal part of our family's life. Mm-hmm. And so I try to instill that in the work that I do now. Let's talk about the Mass. Let's try to understand what is the Eucharist so that we can love him in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. We cannot love what we do not know. And so we have to know him. We have to know the Eucharist in order to love him in it. And Our Lady, it's a no-brainer. How can't you love her? How can't you love her? And when we were growing up, again, this was such a natural part of our family's life. In fact, I don't think I ever heard my mother not refer to Our Lady as Holy Mary. So that was just how she talked about her, Holy Mary. And to me, now looking back, I think, what a beautiful way of setting her apart. We talked about her. My mother's Italian, so there's pictures of holy things everywhere. That's just kind of how our house was decorated. But the fact that she wasn't just Mary, she was Holy Mary. You know, to have that sense of familiarity, but also awe, that there was something different about her. And so we had to love her differently. That, I think, is, again, something so important for us to instill in our church and in our families a sense of a familiarity, but that is also tempered by awe. And then the saints should just be like our best friends. I think that kids can take very naturally to the lives of the saints. And so that is something to me we should just so seamlessly weave into our family's life. Observe saints' days. When I was growing up, even though I'm a little embarrassed to admit, my name, Cristino, comes from the saint who is the patron of our hometown in Italy. But it's a woman, Cristina. And so Italians just change the vowel and then it can be a boy's name. And so on St. Cristina's feast day, July 24th, I felt pretty special. We went for ice cream, and my nonno would give me 10 bucks in secret so that none of the other cousins got jealous. But what a natural way of teaching me to have devotion to my patron. So we should be celebrating name days with children as importantly as we celebrate their birthday. Giving them images of those saints to keep in their room, teaching them to have devotion to them, reading stories about the lives of the saints. It shouldn't be the only thing we read. You should be reading a good assortment of things in family life, and it should feel like it's just normal that among those things would be the lives of the saints. So, I don't know, those are a few things just off the top of my head. Not very creative, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, I think those are awesome, very tangible things. In terms of like devotion to Our Lady, was there like, you know, certain feast days that you would really kind of like highlight, or, you know, would a daily rosary be something that you would want to see in your family home, or?
Well, yes, I mean, ever since I consecrated myself to Our Lady for the first time, way back at the end of my first year in the seminary, I have tried to be very diligent about the daily rosary. And so now it's inconceivable for me to imagine a future life or a different life for myself where I wouldn't be praying the rosary every day. And I would love it if my family wanted to pray the rosary together. But I think there's also something beautiful. I have a beautiful memory of my grandmother, my nonna, my Italian grandmother. When you'd get to her house, it wouldn't be uncommon to see her resting her head on her hands, and you'd just see her rosary draped over her knee. And it didn't mean anything. So she'd pick it up and smile and be so happy to see you, and she'd put it aside, but you knew that she was going to go back and finish that rosary later. But in her spare time, that was what she did. And I think it's also good, as much as the family should pray the rosary together, I think that's a beautiful thing, I think it's also helpful if every once in a while children would catch their parents praying and realize that, oh yeah, they do that whether we're with them or not. Like that's just something that they do because children should see behavior from their parents that isn't just them teaching them what to do, but that it's also just a natural part of their life.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should say that because a friend of mine, I remember her sharing that, like one morning she woke up extra early and she saw her mom sitting on the couch reading the Bible and spending time in prayer. And it was like something she didn't even realize her mom was doing. And that really impacted her.
Does that mean I have to get up earlier? The way I like to wake up, I'm embarrassed to say, is when the kids come and wake me up. and that way they would never see me pray.
Well, then you can say, don't, dad was sleeping. Dad wasn't sleeping. Dad was praying. Let dad go back to prayer.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of fostering, you know, vocations, you know, or like just like being open to God's will for children, how would you encourage, like, I just feel like, especially where we live, like there's not tons of exposure to, you know, religious sisters or, you know, even priests. Like we'll see our priests on Sunday and if we invite them over for supper, but that's kind of the extent of it. Like we're super blessed to have Ken's brother who's a priest, but I mean, really it's not, we don't see a priest on a daily basis, right? What would you do?
I think we have a really special blessing with the access to the internet that we have right now. And I hope that parents would see it as an opportunity to, even if it's artificial, it is certainly in a way kind of artificial, but make sure that their kids would be exposed to priesthood and religious life by whatever means possible. If they're not going to see them very often, they're probably not going to see religious sisters very often because there's just so few of them left who are active in our community. But there are lots who have, you know, a social media presence. And just to make sure that they see that. And being exposed to it doesn't have to happen super often to be impactful. I know in my hometown of Medicine Hat, we were very blessed to have Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus who ran a nursing home. And they never really went anywhere because they were semi-cloistered, so they had their convent attached to the nursing home, and they just cared for those elderly people all the time. But it was so mysterious to go and see them. And you didn't have to see them at work every day to be impacted by them. And on the very rare occasion that you'd see them at Safeway or a Sobeys or something and realize, oh my gosh, they buy groceries. Like, this is amazing. Those sorts of things help make it feel more natural. So I think we need to do what we can to provide the opportunity for children to see priests and religious going about their work, even if that has to be online. But also remember that it doesn't have to be super often for it to still have an impact.
Father, thanks for your insights on faith and family, and thank you for being with us once again. Friends, if you've been blessed by this video, please share it with other people, and we will see you very soon. God bless.